We have two topics on the agenda for today. You could see, I think these topics are really, really interesting. Definitely might be just continuing with the theme that we've seen until now. So let's start with the sugya of Makom Shenagu Bishtar. So the background is pretty straightforward, right? So the Torah prescribes all these kinyanim, karkas, niknes, bekesef, shtar, and chazaka. But the Gemara then says that this is only true. So the fact that karka is niknes bekesef, right, which is learned from this sadas bekesef yiknu, is only true b'makom she'ein kosven es ashtar. Aval b'makom she'kosven es ashtar lo kana. So that's a really important din, right? So the Torah says that karka is niknes bekesef, but if you live in a society where they require a shtar, or where it's customary to write a shtar, then kesef by itself is not sufficient to execute the transfer. And Rashi here famously says, the fact that kesef is kona on its own is only b'makom where there's no minag to write with a shtar. And he explains, kivan deregilin b'hachi lo samcha daite delokeach adinakit shtara, the ikar daito liknos ala shtarhu. So it's like the, you know, when it's customary to write a shtar, the das of the lokeach is going to be on the shtar, not on the kesef, and that vitiates the halachic kinyan kesef. You know, this gets paskin in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, and it's, you know, pretty standard halachic doctrine. There is one interesting back and forth, and that is whether this also applies to a minag of writing a shtar raya, or whether it's exclusively applies to a minag of writing a shtar kinyan. The Ran quotes two deos about this. He says, Ikaman de Amar, is the Ran in Kiddushin, Bishtar Kinyan Davka Askinan. Right, it's only when like the practice is to have the Kinyan executed by Ishtar Kinyan, that's when the Kesef won't work. But then he disagrees. His own view is the Velinira, that b'shmaitin mid karminan stama b'chol shtar askinan shkivan shedarkan lichtav es ashtar lokeach lo sam chadayte ad sheyichtav es ashtar filu shtar hoda. So even if the shtar is just a shtar raya, he thinks like the fact that it's customary to write a shtar raya to evidence the transfer would mean that the kesef on its own is not a valid execute, it's not a valid transfer until a shtar is also written. So I think this sig is very helpful for our purposes because it shows that even the indigenous halachic kinyanim will be overridden by what society views as customary for executing transfers. I just want to point to the formulation of the Yam Shel Shlomo in Bava Kamma in the fifth parak. The Yam Shel Shlomo says, you know, there are all these rules for a transfer, but im timtze bizman hazeh minag acher shenoagu imo lasos akinyan pshita debatlu kol adinim hanal. Elo az linan basar aminag, ki aminag mevatel afilu kinyan mamish, right? Aminag could mevatel kinyan mamish, kegon ba'asa delokani bekaspa, which is a nod to this sugya in Kiddushin, right? Like in a place where it's customary to write a shtar, the Torah's kinyan kesef is invalidated. So, you know, the Marshal points to our Gemara as a general principle. And we could talk in a minute about all these achronim that are on the Makoro sheet here, which run with this idea in societies where there's a practice to have your sale like recorded in some, you know, town government or some town hall or some municipality. That's what all those Yiddish words that you probably couldn't translate are, right? So, Tshuva the Divrei Malkiel. Echad machar karka lechavero, v'halokeach shilem kesef, v'lakach mimenu shtar. And the shtar said that the buyer has to come help and has to come sign this deed or this, you know, this tablet, this thing that memorializes it, I guess, in the town hall. That's the shtar parmalna. V'hamocher ein yochel lachtom v'atzmo, because you need both parties to sign. But then what happened is that the seller messed over the buyer by going ahead and selling it to a different party before it was memorialized in this, you know, town hall. The chafetz milas kavod ladas daiti mamecher rishon kaimo achron. So the first kinyan was done kedasu chahalacha, but it just wasn't memorialized. Okay. Thanks, Shua. Google it, you know. Hine b'mecher stam. So his answer is that pashit de lo hava kinyan, de kivan shahamina gets lenu lichtov parmalna, hava kimakam shakosan as ashtar, de lo sam chadaito b'kasef l'chud, kedekaimlan b'kidushin. So this is like a binyanav, and you can see that's how he reads it, that if the practice is to memorialize this thing in these in this town center or whatever, then the kinyan, the halachically indigenous kinyanim are not valid on their own without that. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, I think that's a straightforward application of the Gemara in Kedushin. You guys have thoughts on that before we look at some other tshuvas? It's like super straightforward, some chiddush here, or it's kind of obvious.
This could, because, like, I think it was a hypothesis that I had floated earlier about, like, the I don't know, it was in maybe the Rashba language itself, about, like, that minhag can adjust, but it can't uproot pre-existing, like, claims of Yerusha and things like that, but that doesn't really work. Like, there seems to be, like, a halachically, like, unless you want to view, as Cole mentioned, like, that the Yerusha and regular Foshanishpat are somehow, like, different mechanisms, that, like, there seems to be, like, that there's a halakhically valid form of kinyan that Minhag is able to just say doesn't exist. So I think that the hypothesis of, like, this complicates the idea of, like, the subtleness of Minhag that we tried to, like, float earlier.
Yeah, I would say, I think that's true. I would say there's one way to resist that, there's an easy way to resist that conclusion, and that's to say that, like, you know, a necessary, a part of kinyanim is gemiras das, or, you know, samcha daite, and, you know, it's just that accompanying component of kinyan that's lacking. That's, I think that's one way to resist the stronger conclusion. But I agree, you know, the sense you get from this gemara is that, like, there's like a rule that kinyanim have to be in conformity with practice, right? Unless you make a clear agreement to the contrary. So, you know, that's my general understanding of what's going on here. Yoni?
Yeah, I was going to say something similar in that. I think that, like, well, like, I think you definitely could use this sugya as part of, like within our general scheme of the role of Minag and Kinyanim and Choshen Mishpat. Like, a lot of the language, like, in most of these chulas and Rishonim, focus on, like, smichu das, in which case, like, a lot of this, like, is not really smichu das or really much of a, like, a statement.
You're saying if it's just a gemiras das issue, then...
Yeah, it's just, like, it's still significant in its own right, but it's not, it doesn't really fit, like, it's just, like, anything that, like, if the norms of the community are that, like, you do X, Y, and Z to have a minog, so, like, if you do less, to have a kinyan, so if you do less, then, like, no one has smichu das, and therefore the kinyan doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah,
that doesn't really say anything about the strength or the normative, you know, power, so to speak, of Minhagim.
Yeah, it's interesting. Although I would say that you don't get the sense from this Gemara that we're doing a case by case reconstruction of, you know, Gemiras Das. You know,
sure, but we're talking about, like, the standard rules in Minhagim, and maybe Gemiras Das for Kinyanim, which by standardizing things, because otherwise it gets too messy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, it does, like, although, like, the really great, like, theories we were presenting yesterday, like, it just, like, my initial thought was that if we just say this is all Gemiras Das, like, all just an assumed Das question, then, like, all of those interesting ideas kind of become unnecessary, but then, I'm really, like, it just moves the goalposts of why is it, the interesting question then becomes is why does Minhag have the power to let us assume people's Das or whatever, which is an interesting question, but one that probably those theories don't address that specific formulation of the question.
Right, yes. That's what I think is significant here. Even if you lean into the Smichas Das formulation, I agree with Adin that it's still interesting that the Minhag moves the goalposts of Gemiras Das, right, away from, like, where the Halacha assumes Gemiras Das usually is, right? So the Halacha usually assumes that the Gemiras Das accompanies the Kinyan, but then the Minhag, you know, pushes the Gemiras Das to what's customary. So you see there's, like, a whole series of achronim. So you have the Marsham, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Marsham is, like, in Greece in, like, the 16th century. Shua, did you do the historical work here? No?
What?
He's not Saloniki?
Greece in the 17th century.
What?
No, I thought he was, like, Poland in, like, the 19th century.
Marsham?
I'm totally alone.
Well, the Derry McGill doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. So I don't know what that says for his... But apparently he was a major posek in the late 19th century, and we have...
Here, I'll give you that.
The rabbi...
Here, you want to do this?
In Ukraine in the 19th century.
Oh, for the Marsham?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Wikipedia says it's from Galicia.
How's
it 1835 to 1911.
Okay, sorry. So...
He quotes people, like, he quotes...
Yeah, right. Good.
Well, I guess now we know why you only tell us for the Ramama.
That's right. I stick with the things I know. I have to, you know, look up my Galician or Poskim. So the Marsham here says, maybe I was confusing with the Marshach. The Marsham here says, in a similar case where you had a dispute about whether a property was sold, there was a transfer based off like Kenyan Kesef and Shtar, but it wasn't registered like in this municipality. And he paskins again, Lanias Daiti, Ein Sarl, you don't need all this halachic pilpul. He quotes the Toafos Ra'im, Divizman Hazesh and Nagu to memorialize these things in the town hall. Gam because of Shtar, Dino Kilo Kas of Shtar. It would only be if there was some clear proof that they were relying exclusively on the shtar. Like the Gemara says, if you make a provision that the shtar alone should be binding, it'll be binding. But otherwise, we assume that they are their das is to be in conformity with the practice. And he says, you know, it's one thing if they wrote this shtar like in Hebrew, aval bishtar hanase bidinehem, the sale is not executed until it's memorialized. And that's how he rules in the case, that because it wasn't in compliance with the practice, the Kenyan's not chal. And then you have this interesting line by Ramosha in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Lamed Beis Simen Samech Beis. He says, "Upashut she'af b'mechiras karkos ubatim lo niknu b'mdinasenu v'chadome lo b'kesef v'lo b'shtar kol zman shelo asalo k'dine hamedina d'shum adam lo samach daito el al dine hamedina b'zeh." Kind of interesting, you know, whether Moshe here is talking as a prescriptive statement that, like, given that there are practices, like, no one could have a sale otherwise, or emotion. It seems strange to think that he's assuming as an empirical matter to shum adam lo samach daito el al dina medina b'zeh, or to shum adam lo somich daito el al dina medina b'zeh. So I take it to be that he's making a halachic statement that in a society where you have these clear cut laws, the only sales that will be valid are the ones that are in compliance with those rules. Is that a new hand or an old hand?
It's an old hand, but I would comment, I'm not sure I agree with you about Ramosha. I think that Ramosha could be talking about, like, a descriptive statement that, like, people are, when they make transactions, like, assume they want, like, a legally binding system, and, like, you know, they can't sue someone in court unless it follows Dina Medina.
Uh-huh. Kind of a strange, just, like, you know, Shemadam, but, right? I think it was strange just to formulate it that way. I'm inclined to read this more like the way Adin was saying. It's like, you know, we move the goalposts in a society where there are just clear norms and say that, like, that's what has to be followed. But, you know, I don't have a strong view. Yakir, you have thoughts on this?
I'm not sure I'm really following exactly
what the difference is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you don't have to follow what the difference is. What do you think the proper, how do you read the Ramosha?
Yeah, I would say that he's making an observation that for Karka, people generally seem to be, people generally seem to give importance to the legal process and
So it's just like an empirical observation.
Yeah, but and therefore, that meaning there's still a halachic conclusion that therefore, kesef and shtar don't work. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a prescriptive conclusion, isn't it? I'm not sure what the other way to read it that was suggested was.
All right. That's fine. I'm fine with that reading.
What would your other suggestion be?
Well, I think the question is, does it really depend on, like, what, like, is he just saying that people, this is how people, like, everybody who does business in New York, is assuming that their transactions will be valid only when it's in compliance with the Minhag HaMedina? Or is he thinking that, like, because there are clear-cut rules here, the halacha is going to yield to those rules?
It doesn't really
matter so much. I mean, it's, I think
it... Yeah. He doesn't seem to be just going on the fact that there are just rules, meaning that's... Otherwise, why would he need that last line? Meaning... It's the combination of the fact that there are clear-cut rules and that people seem to follow them.
Yeah,
it seems to be important to people to
be in compliance.
To do it by the book. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, 1 second. We have a quick visit from Noam. Noam's gonna come say hi for a second. I'm gonna let him in. Noam, come say hi. You want to say hi to the Zoom? Yeah. Donna, can you just take out the battery from that fire? Just take out the battery, yeah. No one, come say hi, quick. Come say hi to everyone. Go say hi.
Hi.
They can't see you.
Hi.
Hi, Noam.
Hi.
Hello.
You want to tell everyone why you're home? Why are you home? Why are you home? You want to say something to everybody? Do you recognize the people? Yeah? Want to show them your cool pajama shirt that says, "Don't wake the bear"? Noam's been wearing pajamas since March. No kidding. Right, Noons? Okay, go. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Bye, Noons. Just remind Donna to take the battery out of the fire alarm.
Donna? Take the battery out of the fire alarm.
There you go. Yeah, like, either the house is burning down or, you know, there's a faulty fire alarm. We'll find out which one of those is correct soon. So, good. So that's the Moshe. I don't know if there's... Yeah, I don't think it really matters so much which way it's going for our purposes. The interesting issue here is this Chazon Ish. I don't know if anybody had a chance to see the Chazon Ish here. The Chazon Ish resists a lot of the force of Minhagim in a lot of these different cases. So the Pesachei Choshen quotes him. He says, here's the Pesachei Choshen's general view. He says, Yesh omrim shebizmanenu shekol iskas mekarkin nirshemes betabo, or that's just the, you know, the deed is held on file. Mederech lahakbid al kach, chashiv kimakam shekosvin shtar, v'chol shelo nirsham eino kinyan gamor. Then he says, avaldas harbe poskim she'en harishim ma'akev. So he sounds like he quotes like two deos about whether like the contemporary custom to keep a deed on file is ma'akev the halachic kinyan. So what's the argument to say that it's not ma'akev? Right? What's the argument there? So he quotes the Chazon Ish. This is like an issue in Israel because like under the British laws or something, like the sales needed to be recorded in order to be valid. The Chazon Ish says this whole thing. He says, like, well, you know, they're not mocked. They're totally fine if we have, like, our own practices. Like, they agree that it's kosher, like, if we have our own internal rules for adjudicating things in our private courts, whatever. But then he has to say something about the Gemara in Kedushin that we saw, right? So the Chazon Ish says, "Umasha kasfu haposkim," this is the Pesachei Choshen side in the Chazon Ish, "Umasha kasfu haposkim b'had v'makam shakosim in shtar, Eino kone below kesef, mishum de lo sam chadaite de lo keach, v'im kem gan bizmanenu, de rabu lo tsaisi dina." Interesting way of putting it, right? He's saying, like, oh, nowadays people don't, like, follow the dinim, so maybe you would think that the kinyan's not valid until you have the deed on file, or whatever. Yesh lomar de lo samcha daite b'li rishon b'tabo. Ze eino. That's not a good argument. She'ein ze me'ikar hadin levatel kinyan de oraisa mipnei chesron gemiras das. Pretty interesting view. He's saying, like, you can't just be mevatel a kinyan de oraisa on a claim of chesron gemiras das. Okay. Which I think, by the way, if you buy this part of the Chazon Ish, then that resists kind of what Yoni was saying earlier and my response to Adin, that, you know, just kinyanim are all just about gemiras das, right? Chazon Ish is saying once there's a halachically valid kinyan, you know, we assume that the gemiras das went along with it. Ela takanas chachamim hi. Sounds like he's saying that gemara in Kiddushin is a local takanas chachamim. Ve'ein lanu lohosef amash amru chachamim. Pretty wild. So, you have like this whole, you have the Gemara, you have like the postgame, you have like, you know, the Rishonim saying lo sam chadayti lo keach. You have like our Achronim extending this to the cases of like the need to have like the record of the transfer on file. And the Chazon Ish says, no, that's like not a valid generalization. A, because Kinyonim don't depend on Gemiras Das. And B, because that Gemara in Kiddushin is a local takana, specifically about like Makom Shenogu Bishtar, and so Chazal made a takana about it, but it doesn't establish a general rule that Kinyanim follow, like the commercial practices. He thinks it's like really difficult to stop a halachic Kinyan from being valid. Yoni?
Yeah, I think that like part of, I mean, it's definitely like a wild reinterpretation of the Gemara. I think part of what may like allow him to do that, though, is that there seems to be like some discussion, like I think is quoted in the Ram, about whether or not like other kinyanim, like kinyan chazaka, would work even without like the shtar. And I think he probably uses that as evidence that it's specifically the relationship between kinyan kesef and kinyan shtar that maybe requires the shtar, but like other kinyanim, not only that they're, like they're stronger kinyanim, but like somehow they avoid this issue and it's a very local issue.
Yeah. That could be. But you see, the Chazon Ish here is severely limiting the power of Kinyan to, you know, attenuate the Torah's Kinyanim. That he's severely limiting the power of Minog to attenuate the Torah's Minhagim, right?
Yeah, this fits like his general view, that he just doesn't, but he believes very strongly in Choshen Mishpat rules as dictating, you know, all Jewish law.
Right. Well, it depends again. What exactly? Well, it depends if Minog is part of that, right? So, that, but he would say that yes, Minog
like
is not.
Minog's not.
Yeah.
Minog's not. Like, do you think Choshen Mishpat means exactly what, Mochet Asfina is?
I think that's right. Anyway, good.
Are we left with the question of like? It kind of begs the question of why did Chazal okay that specific overriding of Kinyan? Like, okay, like. Then, yeah, we won't go further than the Takanas Chachamim, but like, you have to answer the question of why did they do it in that instance?
Yeah, I mean, like, why did Chazal rubber stamp the Makom Shenogu Bishtar? And like, you might think whatever reason supports their doing that would support these things. Yeah, but it sounds like he has this view like you need explicit Takanos to justify these things. This will get back to Zacharia's point.
Yeah, that Chazal didn't like. We think Choshen Mishpat is super important, but Chazal not so much.
Well, you might say like a special takana for whatever reason in one case, you know, like we find takanas all over the place. That's clearly much easier to handle than, you know, just whatever the minhag is. I think what's interesting here is this distinction between like takan, like so, like Zacharia was saying that like Rashayin b'nei ha'ir lahasiya al kitzasan, you know, by the rivash, that's viewed as like a koach, like an imminent koach bezdin that the tzibor has. And then you might, you know, there might not be a difference between like a takanas chazal and, you know, clear-cut takanas b'nei ha'ir, if you think that the legislative or the authority of the two are reducible to the same thing. But we'll come, that's why I think it'll be good to look at that discussion a little later on. But the Chazon Ish clearly thinks that, like, you know, minhag no, takana yes. Yeah. Good.
I mean, we already saw the Chazon Ish kind of take that Gemara and literally just quote it as saying the opposite of what it says. As in, oh, B'nai Yir, they can't make any laws. It's not binding at all.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
which kind of astounding.
Right, that was the discussion and the following the non-Jewish law. They don't have the power to like establish rules that are contrary to the Torah. Yeah, and then the, that's where Shua had the distinction between the, you know, the legislative stuff and just the minhag. Yeah, minhag.
When you think about Chazanish and Gemara Stas and Kinyanim, I think Rosher Weiss popularized the other Chazanish, which says that Gemara Stas is the only issue, which puts this one way out in left field, and probably the constellation of Chuvas has more to do with his view on establishing a Torah-based Eretz Yisrael and maybe a little more politically motivated than the words justify. He's not that type. But it just definitely seems to, because it doesn't really fit with his view over there.
That's really interesting. I gotta look in. I can't say I'm like a Bucky in Rosher Weiss's writings, let alone the stuff that he's popularized. But yeah, that's really, if you're saying that the Chaznish elsewhere says that Kinyanim are just a matter of Gemira, or that they just are Gemira Stas, or that they depend on Gemira.
Yeah, Hoshimish puts him in Chav, from his father, quotes like a one or two lines. I guess I've heard it 100 times. But I listen to the same people 100 times. And that all canon of Gemara Stas. So saying this is like total opposite of that.
Yeah.
And so I think that the background, especially because it was from this thing about Eretz Yisrael, I think probably more to do with that.
Yeah, could very well be. I guess the interesting test case would be, would he have the same reservations for like Minhag and Gemara Stas vitiating Kinyanim outside of Eretz Yisrael? But it sounds like, you know, he kind of wants to keep, as Zachary pointed out, he wants to keep, like, the practices of, like, the indigenous rules of Choshen Mishpat in place, right? I need to look. Yoni, you want to send out that Chaznish to the chat, to the WhatsApp thing, and then we could compare them, just to look at the language, and, yeah, so we'll do that after. That's great. Thanks. Yoni? Zoldi?
Yeah, I want to just ask, like, if you don't take the Chazon Ish's view, like radical rereading, like how would you explain like the Rabbeinu Tam's view that even from this Mara, that other Kinyanim, like Kinyan Chazaka, would still work? Like, why should Kinyan Chazaka be different? Because it's like a bigger Kinyan?
Meaning, why should it work even Bimokam?
Even in a place, Rabbeinu Tam's the Shita, that even in a place where they always have Shtar, and without a Shtar, people don't have some people doubt.
I need to look at that.
I mean, it's quoted in the end of that Ron.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the Ron for a second. Here's the Ron. So this is Rabbeinu Shmuel.
Yeah, Rabbeinu Shmuel, yeah. Okay.
So is this, I think it just rests on an empirical assumption that, you know, that Chazaka always has Smichas Das, right? That's kind of the, he says, Mishim the Chazaka Kniya Limsayi, the Kivan Shabab Rishuso Samcha Daite. But it's interesting, I don't know, that's how I would read it al Regalachas, that he's just assuming that, like, there are no practices that contravene the reliance on Chazaka. But like in a Hanami. So I have to double check it. You might think like adverse possession, right? So like even if you normally require a deed, like adverse possession still works as a separate method of acquisition or something like that. But I don't think that would undermine the general theory that the Kinyanim would yield to the practice. All right, Yoni?
All right, I think like, at least it limits it potentially.
Yeah. I need to look more. I have to look at that Rabbeinu Shmuel inside. I'll look at the Rashbam inside and see if there's like any stuff on it and see if that would support the Chazon Ish. So let's pick up. Let's look at our Situmta discussion, which is the other way. Right. So this Gemara in Kedushin on Chaf Vav shows that accepted commercial practice will invalidate the internal rules or the indigenous rules of Choshen Mishpat. The Situmta, of course, says that a new practice or a commercial custom could create new kinyanim. We don't need to spend so much time on this, so let me just go through this very quickly to make a few observations. So I had a question about the Gemara in Ayin Dalid, We have Rapapi saying, B'shem Rava, that Situmtas Kanya. L'may Hilchasa Rav Chaviv Amar L'mikne Mamish. Now, I thought the interesting thing is that the Gemara then says, the maskana of the Gemara is that Ba'asar Dinehigu L'mikne Mamish Kanu. Obviously, it depends. You need it to be a recognized commercial practice for this to create a kinyan. Then Situmta will be a kinyan. It's kind of strange. What's Rav Chaviva's view? Is Rav Chaviva's view somehow different? Does he think that, like, even where, like, the minhag is not as clear-cut, it would still be a kinyan? I don't really know what to make of that. But the general view, and what's important for our purposes from the Gemara, is that the halacha recognizes a kinyan that otherwise does not have a source in the Torah's conception of what affects a transfer. If it's customary, then it's sufficient to transfer the goods al pi halacha. Rashi here famously.
Why isn't the difference between Chaviva and just simply whether there's just a minhag to do this or there's a minhag to treat it? It's clear that the minhag is exactly to treat it as what affects the kinyan.
So what would it mean what would it mean for it to be recognized but not recognized as a kinyan?
Just the fact that everyone who sells these things sells them in this particular way.
Doesn't that mean that the minhag is that this way executes the transfer?
Well, maybe no. Maybe that in order to have a minhag that this way executes the transfer, you need to have some precedent that there were actually disputes about, that there have actually been disputes about this, and it's always resolved based on the Situmta.
It's possible. So it sounds like you want to read, like, Rav Chaviva as being more open to Situmta than the Gemara's Maskana Ba'asra Dinehigul Mikne Mamish, right? That's like the Maskana is a higher threshold. Yeah, that's kind of the sense. But it's still interesting, like, you still need some threshold of, right, that there's an established custom for Rav Chaviva, I'd imagine, right? But definitely something to think about. So we have a few different views about what Situmta is. Rashi says it's marking the wine barrels to signify the purchase. So the idea is that, like, if Mitnick sells me wine that's in his warehouse, we mark my wine barrels with a stamp, and that's sufficient to execute the transfer, even though that's not prescribed by halacha. So Rashi here says it's as if you did like a Kenyan Mashicha. The Rush cites Rabbeinu Chaim. I don't think it's Rabbeinu Chanana. It's like this Rabbeinu Chaim. That it's not referring to marking wine barrels. It just means like a handshake, right? Kemosha Regilin Hasochrin Tokea Kapo Bikaf Chavero Vizeo Gemara Mekach. Now, you know, I don't think that really matters so much that, you know, which minhag the Gemara is referring to. But I think what is interesting is that if you take the Rabbeinu Chaim and the Rush view, you're not even doing anything with the chayfets, right? So it's really just like a handshake. So, you know, maybe that's like a little more of a chiddush. So the Rush has this in a few places. The Rashba on the Gemara has the most important formulation. He says, v'shaminan mina, we infer from Situmta, sh'aminag mevata halacha, v'chol kayote b'zeh, So, you know, he just has a very broad formulation that, like, the reason why Situmta works is because of this antecedent point of Minog being Mevata Halacha, right? So it doesn't sound like it's this narrow, like, Gemira's Das question. He says it's like a general rule about Dine Mamonis. Want to point out?
Limited to Kone Umakna, you know.
But that's all Dine Mamonos now.
Is this
I guess maybe not Mizikin.
Well, it's true that this is limited to Kinyanim, I agree.
You can say Alpiaminog Yorshin. You can say Alpiaminog. There's a lot of other things.
Yeah, I agree with that. But what I had in mind is, like, when we remember we saw earlier the Marshach. Just skip down to the Marshach for a second. There's this, like, jurisprudence of Situmta to get that gets expanded to, like, even broader things than Kinyanim, but it's grounded in this Rashba. Let me pull that up. Here. Remember we saw this Marshach and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So they said, I'll just quote the Rabbi Akiva Eiger citation of it. Shem Marshach. Machlokas ben tovei lenitva echad omer sheretzono lizdayin b'din Torah v'echad omer she'eno lizdayin el b'fnei acherim shekachu aminog b'makom shenasa esek hadin imo, right, not lihistayin kifi din Torah kivan d'b'makom shenasa esek yesh minog lihistayin kifi derech hasochren v'lo kifi din Torah minog mevato halacha v'hevi hahi da'as situmta. So, like, situmta became like the basis for adjudicating according to rules that are Shaloka Din Torah, not just for, like, the Kinyanim, right? And you can see, if you look in the Marshach inside, he's actually citing this Rashba. So he says, Kushta de Milsa, Yecholim Yorshe Ruven, Lachof L'Shimon, Ladin Kfider HaSochrin, Bedin HaSochrin Al Piminag Venezia, Kimen Shanasa Shama Esek, Shehadavar Yadua, Divinyane haknios vihaschoros vichol inyane maso matan shenogwa sochrim biskeyem yeshlanu lachas achre minhagehem viikar din zen nilmad mehadamara papabezunasha haisi tumta vasudurgil miknikani. And he cites the Magid Mishnah, citing the Rashba, which we just saw, Shmamina, Kyamina mevata halacha, bechol kayote beze. Right, Hilkach b'chol davar she'anogu atagarim liknos konim. So I agree that kind of the Gemara is a local point. The Rashba expands it to like kolin yane hakinyanim, and then in this Marshach it gets like exploded. In application to minog lehistayin kifi derech hasochin v'lo kifi din Torah, which is about which rules you're going to apply to a dispute, and he has this phrase here, right? Divinyane haknios vihaschoros. Right? Schoros is, like, I think, broader than knios. Vichol inyane masu matan shenogu aschorim b'iskeyem. I think is much broader. I think we're still right that Nezikin doesn't seem to be included even in the Marshach's very broad formulation. So, but it is this very broad expansive application of the principle of Situmta. Did somebody want to get a comment?
I think it goes beyond tonight here, even. That's why there's music in the background, because I guess there's no Friday. It's in between periods. But this is going beyond tonight in the sense that, like, a tonight could be a local thing, even if we apply it to a lot of different categories. Like, there's a tonight between these two parties, but here is that the Minhag has a priori power before we even get to the local two parties here and their ability to make tonight.
Yeah, hold off on the Tanai question. I think we're going to the Tanai. I think there's a way of trying to decide the Tanai issue from this sugya, but you might be right. I don't think you're forced into that, but you might be right about it. But I have something to say about Tanai at the end of our discussion today.
Yoni, isn't there an evidence problem with the entire, like, people kind of like just explode Situmta to apply to everything? Like, it's just like a quarter of a line and somewhere in Bava Metzia, and therefore we learn from here, all of the Bava Metzia doesn't apply if you don't want it to. It's like, it's not what it says. And kind of like, there's just a total, like, harem tzluyim basara going on here, which, like, you could, like, dig into this and say, oh, from the very fact that there's not compelling evidence from the Gemara that proves that they have such deep conviction in this idea that Minog plays a central role, but, like, also, I don't know, you could just read all of Talmud Bavli and just not get that impression.
Okay, so I have two comments. I love your point, Zacharia. I have two comments. The first is that you say, like, harim hatluyim basara as if it's a bad thing, right? But, you know, Chazal seem to take harim hatluyim basara very seriously, right? I mean, that doesn't delegitimize something. But I think what's more interesting here is, I think you're totally right about, like, this Bavli presentation issue. So I have a lot of thoughts about, like, the way the Bavli presents things. And I was actually going to make this methodological point here that, you know, even if you're daik from the language of the Rishonim, right, it's shaminan mina, right? Like, we see from this principle of situmta shaminan mevatel halacha. And it's this rant, it's like this three-line statement tucked away in, like, Ezu Neshech. But its ramifications are, like, broad and comprehensive. And I think that's just, like, the Derech HaTalmud. You know, like, the Rishonim, Shua is making fun of me about talking about the Ramban. But, like, the Ramban, you know, the Rishonim are very interested in trying to, like, figure out these, like, Klalei HaTalmud. Like why is the Gemara do things in the way it does? And I think it's just, like, one of the Klalei HaTalmud that, like, it's not, like, area and volume doesn't indicate, like, its axiological importance. So, it's like, Divrei HaTorah Niyim B'Makom Echad V'Shirim B'Makom Acher. It's totally fine for there to be, like, one principle in Bava Metzia to be, like, super controlling in a lot of cases. Right? I think that's just consistent with the way the Gemara presents itself. I think this also kind of, like, ties in to, like, Mitnick's point about, like, using the books on the shelves and, like, the Rashba about the what's going to happen to the Svarim, right? So I think this voice, you're voicing a similar point, right? It's like, it seems suspicious that one passage in Bava Metzia could be so controlling. But then, like, if you think about it more, like, why not, right? I mean, why is it problematic for one principle to have more prominence over others? Like, it's, right, I agree. Like, you're saying the Gemara should have started off Nezikin with, like, here's a Mishnah on Situmta, right? And Hecha Deleka Minog, read on. It's interesting that this...
It doesn't even name Kedushin, where we're talking about, like, oh, there are exactly three ways, like, Tana V'Shire, like, we only did not three ways to go into things, like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really interesting, like, point.
Were there Tagarim where they wrote the Mishnah? Who were going to things in other ways.
Right, so I think this ties into, like, the... It's so clear that the Bavli is not written to reflect... Like, the organization is not meant to give priority and prominence to, like, the important principles. Right? See, but this I think is, like, a bigger issue, and it relates to, like, you know, like, Samen's book about, you know, what's the Gemara doing, and people have a lot of weird conclusions to draw from this. My own view is that, like, the nature of halacha is not going to be fully determined by, like, its presentation in the Bavli. And it's a mistake to put too much of an emphasis on the Bavli's presentation in understanding, like, the, right, like, the legal principles of halacha. It's true that the legal principles are derived from the Gemara's presentation, but, like, the Gemara's presentation is a presentation of halacha. It's not, like, constitutive of, like, the meaning or the prominence of the dinim. So it's like...
What about Shulchan Aruch, though, that then at least something's got to be, like, some presentation's got to be constitutive of, like, the importance, and Shulchan Aruch doesn't have some tips on...
By the way, wait, Yoni, I hear you. One second, I want to make a point based off your first sentence. I think the fact that, like, everybody had to reorder the legal principles of the Gemara shows... Right, that, like, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and everyone agrees that, like, the legal organization of halacha doesn't follow the Talmudic presentation of it. So this is, like, a separate issue I have. Like, if you read something like Samen's book, you'll see that there's a conflation of, like, the Talmud with halacha. And I think it's important to, like, see, like, yeah, the Gemara is the source, but, like, it's a mistake to tie to. So I think Situmta ties into that, right? So, like, if you're reading the Pisrei Choshen, for example, you'd get something like Kinyanim, Situmta, and then, you know, here's other stuff that applies sometimes. And I think it's an interesting question, like why this is just tucked away in the Gemara in this way. But I think it's, like, a question about the Gemara and less a question about Situmta. But does that answer your question a little bit, Zakaria? Yeah.
But I think it doesn't answer, like, Shulchan Aruch or, like, other, like, does Pisrei Choshen have Situmta as, like, a major principle in Kinyanim?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. There's definitely, like, a parak devoted to Situmta.
Right? What about Shulchan Aruch then?
Shimon Reish Aleph in Shulchan Aruch has a parak for Situmta. So it's more prominent than it is in the Gemara. But, you know, it's I think it's like a further question, like how exactly is the Shulchan Aruch ordered, right?
It's only, I think it's only a local, like it doesn't address the problem, like or problem issue at large, but the Chassam Sofer's logic of like this being a, of like things that seem to be principles, maybe just being a local and limited Takanas Chachamim, like that logic makes.
Do you mean the Chazon Ish?
Idea of like, yeah, oh yeah, sorry, yeah, Chazon Ish. Like because otherwise, when you have the problems that I mentioned, that like this one, these five words in Adaf and Dalet undo the entire Masechta. Like there could be more like the logic of the Chazon Ish is makes more sense. Maybe
I hear that argument.
Larger issue.
I hear that argument. But it depends on these like methodological questions of like Divrei Torah Niim b'Makom Echad v'Ashir b'Makom Acher, and like a throwaway line versus, right? So I agree that we could debate that, but I don't think we should be prima facie suspicious of Situmta simply because it's not like the first Mishnah in the Perek of Kinyanim.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I think on Zolti's point about like the Rambam puts this kind of limitation of Kesef that we saw in Kiddushin, that Bachum Shnagu, he puts that right in Mechira Aleph Dalet, like it's really up there, and that might actually be exactly what we're looking for, is in this kind of centralizing of Bachum Shnagu. It's like, all right, I'm telling you top down, there's going to be these three Kinyanim, but you know, Bachum is still going to be the one controlling. I think that might kind of point in that direction.
Yeah. I'll say further also that like it's not obvious to me that the right way to structure your code of like something like the Shulchan Aruch or the Rambam is like an order of like which principle applies most, right? I mean, there I don't know why did the Rambam structure the things the way he did. If this is my father's year, we'd probably spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. Maybe we should.
Heard you or Dr. Grafton, and also isn't that like his whole. Is that like what he does? Like one of the main things he does?
No, I think he has one thing about like, you know, if you have to, he thinks that like if something's weird, then you have to figure out, if something seems out of place, you have to figure out why it's out of place, right? Now, I think Zechariah's presupposition is that Shulchan Aruch and these Svarim should be ordered in order in like the series of like what's the most applicable, right? But, you know, I think they're just following, like, the Seder HaGemara sometimes, right? They do switch it up, but, like, the internal presentation often sees, you know, this is how the Gemara presents it. It starts off with Karka, and then you go to Metaltalin, and things like that. I don't know, any of the rest of you have thoughts on this?
I mean, it's all common. The Rishonim sees upon a certain Gemara, the Achronim sees upon a certain thing in Rishonim. I mean, if you want to learn all Gemara equally, I mean, we all love all Gemara equally, but, like, you know, go in the certain prakim of a Metzia and you'll just die of boredom and they're inapplicable. Just need more context to know that, like, people, each generation kind of refines and looks back and says, like, okay, these are the klalim and these are the little pratim that we'll leave behind.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast, a headlines podcast. You know, Katavina Talia, I used to do that. And, yeah, then I learned my lesson. But when I was going through that phase, so, you know, he was interviewing one of these like Tohanim / Borim, and what the guy said in broken English was that nowadays, like, you know, Choshen Mishpat consists of Situmta and Menagas Ochrim. It's like, you know, there are two dinim in Shulchan Aruch that you have to know. If a Dayanim are applying anything else, then, you know, it's like a Talis Bidvar Mishnah. That was kind of the argument of this, you know, Tohen in his, you know, broken English, which is not, you know, it's, what, then you might ask, well, like, why wasn't it always that way? And you might say, well, there's something about like the kinds of like legal societies that we live in. And just like, you know, the law today is so public and accessible and we're so law abiding in general compared to like living in a shtetl or in like a Jewish enclave in 13th century France, where you had your own government and your own set of rules, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Zolti, is that lingering hands or?
Lingering.
Okay, I'll put it down for you. Shua, you unmuted yourself. You have something to say?
Well, I just think I don't think this is so deep, and I agree with everything that you guys have said before. But I do also think that there's some element of, like, I would call it, like, extra-textualism, like, Michlal HaTorah Yerali type things, right? Like, if you have this idea that Kabira's Das is so important in Kol Shel Mishpat or in Kinyanim, which is not a crazy thing to say, right, which does come up more frequently, then all of a sudden, Shittumta in two lines makes more sense and doesn't feel like out of left field, right? Because there are these kind of, like, meta principles floating around.
Why don't you throw Minog into there, right?
I think Minog is a great example as well. So what I'm saying is I don't think that this makes a difference in terms of, like, understand it, but, like, how we learn or what we pay attention to or what is prominent in practice. But I do think that there's a little bit, like, systematically, it doesn't stress me out when things like that happen, because I think that the Gemara is thousands and thousands of pages from which to extract hopefully fewer than that principles that will be helpful, you know, like, generally.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. You know, I've come around on this. I think a few years ago, I used to think that, I'm going to go Sochrim, cop out, Tutumta, cop out. It was invented by, like, the BDA lawyers who spend too much time in law school and have sunk costs, so feel that, like, you know, they ought to apply their law school knowledge, rather than Kosh Mishpat. But, like, now I've come around. I think that, like, you know, I'm more persuaded by, like, the halachas, what you call, like, total, you know, broad picture emphasis on minog, more persuaded that, like, Situmta itself is an internal principle of Kosh Mishpat. And, you know, once you look at it through those lens, like, the dichotomy of, like, the, you know, the choice of law dichotomy falls away. And then, you know, supported by, like, the emphasis on minog, like, I think it makes a lot of sense. And then further supported by, like, I think the reasons which explain why the halacha would adopt minhag, right? It's partially for, like, the Zecharia Noah reasons and, you know, things like that. So I've come far on that without having some costs in law school. So, yeah. Yakir or Donnie, you guys have thoughts on this before we look at the Situmta stuff? No, Donnie's probably, like, he's applying to law school now. He's, you know, not sure if he's doing the right thing.
I don't know where I'm at this point in your formula of looking at halacha.
Are you on board or no?
Well, I'm on board. I think this is, what's it called? I think it makes sense.
Great. Yakir, you have a thought?
I have not been in law school, nor do I know enough Kol Shel Mishpat, so I'm totally ambivalent.
Meaning you could go either way.
Either way, I have no expertise to contribute. So,
well, you have the reading of the sugyas, right?
I don't think I have enough of reading the sugyas to have a broad sense, but I'm certainly open.
Well, here's the question: do you have Zecharia's, you know, instinctive prima facie reaction that, like, it's got to be shoddy to, you know, establish all of contemporary halachic jurisprudence on the basis of, like, a throwout line in Ezer Neshech about Situmta?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure that's, I don't think that's, like, unique. Well, I guess we've been saying this, that it's not unique to Kol Shel Mishpat either, that, like, certain principles that don't seem too important end up being very important to Maisa.
Yeah. It's like Hilchos Nida, has very little to do with Maseches Nida, right?
Right.
And if you just learned the Gemara, you probably wouldn't arrive at, like, most of the things that, right, are considered doctrinal today in Hilchos Nida. You know, interesting. I don't think it's unique to Kol Shel Mishpat. All right, good. Let's talk about the substance of Situmta. So I want to say the following. So Machlokas Rishonim here, exactly what Tzitimta, what the practice was. Just give a survey again, those three views. Rashi says it's marking the wine barrels. I think that's the most standard view. The Rosh and Tshuva quotes this Rabbeinu Chaim, that it's the handshake. The Ravan doesn't say this is the interpretation of Tzitimta, but he applies Tzitimta to the minhag of Mesiras HaMaftechos. Giving over the keys sometimes executes the transfer. Some of that comes out of this. Some Rishonim point to this in the Gemara in Psachim, that who has the burden of Bedikas Chametz is a function of between the Maskir and the Socher, whether there's Mesiras Maftechos, Imach Lomasar Lomaftechos Chalar Baasar, Ala Maskir Livdok. So I think in that Sugya there are some Rishonim who say that this is, you know, Mesiras Maftechos is the kind of Kinyan based off Hasitumta. The Ravan in Bav Mitzia, interestingly, quotes a dispute between Reuven and Shimon, of course, who are always arguing. So they're at it again. Dante Chaim Soloveitchik's line about, I think it was about, what's his name? The guy who taught Jewish history at YU and is the Maharam Rutenberg expert. It's going to come back to me. Anyways, his point was that, like, Jews in the Middle Ages were clearly, like, the middle class, like, capitalist employers, because all the tshuvas are about, like, you know, employing a non-Jew on Shabbos, and, like, you know, what could he do for you, and, right, so, like, Chaim Soloveitchik's point was that, like, well, no one's going to ask the Shaila about, like, having a Jew do malacha for you on Shabbos, right, so, like, of course, like, the only tshuvas that you're going to have are about the non-Jew doing malacha for you on Shabbos, so. Doesn't tell you that they were all, you know, like, employers, whatever. He said, by that logic, you could infer that only Jews died in the Middle Ages because all the shilas are about Yerusha, you know, Jewish Yerushas. There are no shilas about non-Jewish Yerushas. So, the Ravan here has a dispute between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says that the merchandise was sold. Why? Because nasatali hamafteach shahaschora muneches bo, v'sagarti acheder b'mafteach de liknos haschora kimishpat hasochrim shekonim b'skiras haschora. Right? It's like I acquired the merchandise because I did the customary thing through like taking the key and closing the door. V'shimon meshivo b'mekanis haschorasi lo b'mos v'lo b'meshicha v'ani rotze lachzor bi. It's like the perfect dispute, right? Shimon says, like, you didn't do a choshen mishpat, valid kinyan. And so the Ravan responds, din ze pasuk miha meha d'amara papa mishmei d'rava haisitum d'kanya. Hachanami kivin d'regilin asochrim b'kach liknos behezger hamafteach kana Reuven. So it's just like a textbook case, right? It's like Reuven says, I did the customary thing. Shimon says, you didn't do the halakhically required thing. And the Ravan says, Tzitumta is dispositive, right? So the commercially acceptable thing is what wins the day. Now, there is one outlying shita. Did anybody get a chance to see the shita of Rabbeinu Pinchas? So this is the one shita that if you're skeptical of, if you want to resist, so I guess if you're like in a chazanish streak and you want to resist the force of Tzitumta, this is the way to do it. All right, so Zachar, you want to tell us about Rabbeinu Pinchas?
Yeah, I only thought he had a good read of the Gemara until Yakir, you explained kind of how to read Rav Chaviva, but pretty much motivated by the Rav Chaviva problem. And what on earth does he hold? Are you suggesting he holds that Tzitzuta would be Kona, even in a world that's not the Minhag? So he's motivated, just says, yeah, Tzitzuta is like people give like an unminted coin, that's the practice. And it's just a question of das. Do people try to do a Kenyan Kesef with Metanfilin, and therefore it's just a Mishapara? Are they trying to do Chalipin, and therefore it would be a full Kenyan? And we're just quibbling about which halakha Kenyan they're trying to do here. And therefore, in the area where they do it as a Kenyan, we presume they're doing Chalipin. In the area they don't, it's just Mishapara. And he emphasizes, kind of like digging back in the Rashba, it's like there's no Minag Mavanta halakha going on here. Just, you know, business as usual.
Yeah, great Shita. Anybody encountered the Shita before? It's really a great shita. And I think Zachary is right, based off Yakir, to say that maybe he's motivated by that Rabbi Chaviva. So he says Situmta is not like the commercially accepted practice. That's not what Situmta is. It's not the giving of the keys. It's not the handshake. It's not the mark in the wine barrels. Situmta just was a practice to pay for goods with a non-printed coin. So like literally just like a circular piece of metal. And the act is ambiguous as to whether you're trying to like give some sort of like mashkon, kind of like a security for the payment, which would only trigger a mishapara, or whether you're trying to do a barter exchange of like the piece of metal for the goods as a kinyan chalipin, right? So the act is ambiguous. The way we decide whether you're just giving a mashkon security deposit or whether you're doing a legitimate kinyan chalipin is based on minog. If the practice is to use the coin as a chalipin, then we'll interpret the action as you're trying to engage in chalipin, which would make the sale valid. So chalipin is, so Situmta on his view is not, Situmta on his view is not whatever the commercially accepted practice is the halachically accepted mode of kinyan. It's just an action that's ambiguous between a halachically invalid kinyan and a halachically valid kinyan. In our interpretation of your action, we'll construe it as the halachically valid kinyan, the chalipin, if indeed that's the accepted practice. And I think Zachariah is totally right to point to this last line, where he says, "She'ein minag zem mevata halacha beklum," right? He's skeptical of the Situmta jurisprudence. He's saying it's not that this minag is overriding some choshen mishpat default or mevata halacha. You know, all it's doing is fitting the buyer's actions into the halacha's conception of chalipin. This is, I think, a really fascinating view of, you know, Rabbeinu Pinchas, who's apparently the brother of the Ra'ah, who we don't hear of so often, right? But he came out of the woodwork for Situmta.
He stopped writing Sefer Achinuch for this.
He stopped writing Sefer Achinuch for this. That's right. Anybody have thoughts?
It totally undoes a lot of the ideas we've been doing, but there still is the notion of that the minhag of, it's a much smaller force, but the minhag in this place, like whether or not the minhag in this place is to use this as chalipin or not, still does have normative force.
But yes.
Even if we can't say for sure that I had the das to do chalipin with this, that if that's what other people are doing, then that still affects the halacha's view of my action.
Yeah, I think that's true. So you're consistent with your moving the goalpost theory, but I would say it's a little less mechudash, right? So like, we could, if Cole was here, Cole would make me pull off my Elizabeth Anscombe book on intentions off the shelf, like Philosophy of Action. You know, actions could be interpreted in all sorts of different ways. And in halacha, you see this all the time, you know, Devarshin Miskaven, Psik Reishas, right? Actions are ambiguous, and it doesn't seem controversial to interpret actions. The best interpretation of the action, you know, is the one that's consistent with what people normally do in these circumstances, right?
Yeah, I mentioned this in the chat earlier. So if we go down the Gemara Sas path, is minhag just the best available option? Like we have little actual information that we can determine, so we're using context as best we can to define things, or is there
sure?
I just think clearly, like, if, for example, here, this is like much more than I it's very hard for me to imagine that this is us thinking that people actually realize it's chalipin. Like, that's their actual das, because it just presumes this level of, like, understanding about the Kenyan process. It strikes me much more as, like, an umdino. Like, we're willing to rabbinically pretend that this is how it works so as not to have them come in conflict.
That's interesting. So you're very much in Adin's camp, right? That like the norm, the fact that the halacha is going to make us interpret their das one way, that still reflects the importance of minug. True, but I would say, but still the point is that we're not using minug to create new kinyanim. We're using minug as a tool to fit the, like to shove this guy's actions into a box of already created minhagim, already created kinyanim.
Yeah, I guess the question is why. Like, why we prefer this to the creating new kinyanim. And I think you have to, like, build out a theory of, like, normative force of halachic kinyanim to figure that out.
Yeah, I think that's really good. That's really interesting. So you're saying, like, as between, right, using minhag to fit Gemiras Das into something, or using minhag to create new kinyanim, why would we go one way rather than the other? I would say the path of least resistance, the one that does the least damage to the system, is the one that just uses Das to fit the action into something known, rather than to create a whole new category of, like, right, like Situmta, which, you know, seems to have magical powers. Right, that's what I would think. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you, we come back to some of the things we spoke about last time, which is when it's in conflict with, it's kind of like, since we're harping on our sunk costs as lawyers, it's kind of like federal, like, supremacy, and I forget what the language for it is, Minnick will tell me, but, like, when there's a federal law that, like, totally fills the, like, the canvas of how a specific legal functionality should work, so it just, like,
occupies the field.
Yeah, and it just preempts all sorts of state law. So, like, when Minnick comes in and tells us about things like Schiris Poalim, we don't feel like it's preempted by Torah law. They can, like, stand side by side. One could be the stomo, one could be the tznai, whatever. But for kinyanim, where we have this robust theory of halacha kinyanim, that is maybe, like, there are enough of them to totally preempt any form of, like, future creativity, so then we fit it into one of the pre-existing ones.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, good point. So I would say, I saw Evan had a hand, so we take Evan's hand, but I would just, you know, just to put us back to our big picture for a second. You see, like, the both in the Sugyan Kedushin Chavav about Malkum Shenagu Vishtar, you have, like, a whole path of interpretation that goes one way towards Minhag, and then you have the Chaznish kind of pulling back and saying it's a local Takana. You see something similar over here. You know, you have the Situmta Gemara. It gets taken up by the Rashba as a general principle, and then by the Marshach, an even broader principle. But then you have this, like, Ritva B'Shem Rabbeinu Pinchas that goes the exact opposite way, right? Like, this is not a new principle. It's not a new kinyan. It's just an application of kinyan, kinyan Sudor or Chalipin. We'll talk more about the magical powers of Situmta probably right after Yontif, which is, like, the whole Asmachta question and Davar Shlomo Liolam. That's going to be one of the reasons to think that this can't just be about Gemiras Das, right? But we'll hold off on that for a little bit. Let's get Yakir, or Evan, and then Yakir. Evan, you had a hand up, or your hand went down?
Z, you have the set, no? So, just, like, the way that Zachary and I, like, was thinking about this was that there's, like, kind of two general ways we were seeing Minhag operate. One was just, like, filling in a variable. So, like, for Tuba, there's, like, there's an amount, and then you just kind of fill that in depending on where you are. And another one is more of, like, a systematic approach, which is, like, adding to a system or creating a new system. And so I think the viewing Situmta as filling in, whether you want to say it's Das or filling in an expression. And so that comes down to the rabbinical scripts filling in either Kalipin or filling it in with another type of kinyan, or I think Rashi's Kilu might be filling it in with Tolda of Mashicha, and that's kind of doesn't get in the way of Mabatel Halakha, Minna Mabatel Halakha, right? Because that's kind of working within the framework somewhat. Whereas the idea of, like, oh, we're kind of just extending kinyanim to include cultural practice is, or I think that's how the Rosh was probably reading it, and that would kind of be under the flag of Minhag Vato, you know, Halakha, and that since we're extending and or overriding the system, we're being Vato. But if we're just expressing a new part of the system, we're not.
Yeah, well, I'll just say, I'll just bracket that last phrase to use. But aside from that last phrase, I would say that I think what you said is very, very much consistent with what Shua was saying in my response to him, right? That's exactly right. There are two ways to conceive of what Sitimta is really doing. Some Rishonim seem totally comfortable with Sitimta being this new category of halacha, and some try to fit it into the pre-existing categories. Yeah, I think that's a really good way of thinking about it. I wouldn't put it the last phrase you used, just because, like, my earlier point that once you think that the halacha prescribes these things, right, so it's...
Abba, could I tell you something?
Right, yeah.
Can I watch Peppa? Abba!
What?
Hello, I'm in the...
Say hi to everyone.
Hi,
Abba. Inside, say hi.
Hi.
What are you trying to do? What are you trying to get permission for?
I know how to get Peppa in the, that computer.
You know how to get Peppa on your computer?
Yeah. Computer.
Hold off. I'll set up Peppa for you in a few minutes, okay?
No. On that computer.
You do it on your Kindle.
No.
Why?
Because I know how to get it.
You try to get it. If you're successful, then you can watch Peppa.
I got it already.
How'd you get it already?
Peppa on the computer. When I turned it on, it switched to Peppa.
Really?
I didn't do any buttons. Very cool.
Very cool. This is very exciting. Bye. Say goodbye. You have to say goodbye to everyone. Say
bye.
Goodbye. They can't see you. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Wish everyone a good Yom Tov. Okay. Go.
Bye-bye.
Close the door.
I know. Can I have more Kindle?
Yeah. So. Yakir, you had a... That was good. It's very, very good point, Evan. Yakir, you had a comment here that was written in the chat.
I decided it was too tangential and it's too late for it to be a spoken comment, so I moved it to chat.
Okay, fine. So we're gonna take this up next time, but I want to just point to two things. So we should talk about quickly the idea that Sitimta, you know, has these magical powers to overcome, you know, the other limits on Kinyanim, right? So like Asmachta and Davar Sheina Bershuso and Davar Shlo B'Liolam should suddenly become valid through Sitimta, right? That definitely sees Sitimta not only as being a new category of Kenyan, but that once there are Minhagim, you know, all these things that the Halacha doesn't allow you to do otherwise could suddenly be accomplished through Sitimta, right? That's really important, right? So that is like more, that's like the broadest interpretation of Sitimta, so we'll talk about that. I want to close with one point for us to consider, and this relates to Adin's comment. So Adin wanted to know whether, like, Sitimta, does that relate to Tanai Shel Mamon? So you should look at this Gemara in Kiddushin. So, like, if Sitimta works Mikoach Minog, right, is it possible to reduce Sitimta to, like, a private Tanai between the parties? Is that feasible? To say that, like, the reason why Sitimta works is because of, it's as if the parties agreed for it to work. So my view is that that's not going to be coherent. Because if you look at this Gemara in Kiddushin Chaf Hei Mebeis, you know, the Gemara says, this is after the Mishnah has all these rules for how to transfer things. Behema Gasa, Niknes B'Meshicha, you know, Mesira, whatever. And the Gemara says, Maskethel Rav Yosef, El Me'ata, Peel the Rav Shimon B'ma Yikne. Right, very famous question. If you require Hagbah, how are you going to be able to makne an elephant? Right? So, the Gemara says, oh, whatever, Sochars Makomo, you have these other ways of doing it. Mevi Arba Kalim Tachas Raglov. And so the Ramban commenting on this Gemara, sorry, I didn't mean for it to be so big. Yikes. So the Ramban commenting on this Gemara says, "Ulefi dazu shekasamna afilu pireish lo v'amar kne b'mesira davar hanikne b'meshicha." obisimta, not tzitumta, she'ein mesira kone ba, ein akone, shelo masru chachamim dine ha'aknaos lemochrim. Right? Chazal didn't just say that, like, you could have private agreements to be makneh behema that's nicknased bim behagbah with meshicha. It's not like things that private tanayim could just agree upon that will be makneh appeal with mesira. If the Torah says hagbah, then you're limited to hagbah. So what I think here is important is that the Ramban is actually distinguishing between minhag and tanai. The idea is that a private tanai wouldn't be sufficient for creating new kinyanim. Can't just say, let's be makna, this, it's not just about the gemiras das or the parties, etc., etc. Kol tanai shev mamon in the private sense would be insufficient. But if this is like the publicly recognized customary way of doing it, that would be sufficient. And I think you can make this, so I think this is one reason to disentangle minhag from being grounded in the normative force of kol tanai shev mamon. If you interpret kol tanai shev mamon as a narrow sense of like, the parties agreed on this, agreement doesn't have the magical powers of tzitumta. And I think you can make a structurally parallel argument about overcoming asmachta and davar shel bal yolam. But for those views, which we'll look at on Tuesday, that say that Situmta overcomes all those Davar Shel Bal Yolam and Asmachta problems, a private Tanai usually can't do that, right? You can't say, oh, we agreed to be Machna Davar Shel Bal Yolam, we're both on the same page, so the Kinyan's Chal. So clearly the idea of Situmta's got to be something more fundamental or more robust than the Kol Tanai Shel Mama, because you can't reduce Situmta to Tanai. Yoni, we'll give you the last word. Last word of the year from Yoni. Yoni in Manhattan.
Is that like what the Ramban is saying, though? Isn't what he's arguing that he's differentiating between new forms of kinyanim and repurposing kinyanim? And then kinyanim is a totally different than kinyan. There's no rules about it. So if it's going to work, maybe it'll work even for Dar Shalom, potentially. But and then he's context specifically, if you repurpose kinyanim to say that like a kinyan mashicha should be able to work on something that doesn't work for usually, so that doesn't work. And minhagim, he's not really differentiating between minhagim and tanai, he's really differentiating between repurposing kinyanim and new kinyanim. And his comment about minhagim is simply about that both tanai and minhag can be applied when you're just like tinkering with like an existing kinyan and you're just like limiting it. So you can just like reapply like those limitations.
Yeah, this sounds like one of those like sharp achronish Torahs that is prima facie suspicious. You know, it's like
I'm just reading what he says.
Yeah,
he says,
yeah.
That just seems what he says.
Right. That's a natural response. No, I mean, so you're saying that like the Torah doesn't let me be makneh davar niknes b'mesira b'meshicha.
Yeah,
but it lets me be makneh davar niknes b'mesira with mesiras maftechos or something, or with like a handshake. Hard to see the rational basis for that, right?
Well, I don't know the second half, but he is saying that minhagim can like dictate when a kinyan can be applied and then if it can be applied.
Right. So my view, well, you still have to say something about
it. Not that you're repurposing it for a different type of, for a different.
Right. Interesting. I need to think about that a little bit. I need to think about it. Yeah. So let's think about that, right? Does it make sense that Situmta, that there's something problematic with swapping Mashicha for Mesira, but not like other things, right? Like not like a new Kenyan altogether. So let's stop here. Let's pick up on Tuesday with like the Asmach Davar Shel Bal Yolam. Let me think about if I want to look at Darshina and Lashon Hegyot quickly at the sugya of Rashan B'nai Ya'ir Lasi Al Kitzasan. So let me make an executive decision about that. If you have thoughts, email me, and then we'll move on to Achilas Po'alim. So, you know, maybe like another week or on Minhag, and then we'll get into the further on in the parak. Great. Shkoyach, everyone. Ksivach Sima Tova. Have a great year. Great Rosh Hashanah. And looking forward to picking up afterwards. We're gonna continue through Aseret Me'etshuva, right? I think that makes sense. I think Y is open, so great. We could talk about Chol HaMoed, whether it makes sense to continue then, but we'll figure that out next week. So great. Shabbos, everyone. Yasher Kara.